Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prisoners will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. And I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for a lease. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money from the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, that is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching has never changed anything.
Many a young athlete entertains hoop dreams. Few, if any, have tried as hard to make them come true as the kid our Steve Hartman has gone to see.
Every week, he set himself up for disappointment. Every week, 13-year-old Jamarian Stiles came to this community center in Boca Raton, Florida, hoping to play basketball with the other kids. And every week, he was rejected.
They'll start picking teams, and I would be the only one left out. And then they'll just tell me, just go home and stuff. You can break someone's heart like that.
The problem was obvious to everyone but Jamarian. He lost his hands and most of his arms as an infant due to a rare bacterial infection. But he insisted that was no reason to give up his hoop dreams.
What about soccer? Have you heard of that sport?
Yeah, hear it every day.
Why don't you play soccer? That just seems like the obvious thing.
You would think that I would be good at soccer. I'm really not. I'm horrible.
Which is why, on the first day of class here at Eagles Landing Middle School, Jamarian took his case to basketball coach Darian Williams.
Yeah.
Said he wanted to be on the team this year.
I said, all great, well, just make sure you try out.
He said, okay, great, but what are you really thinking?
This man has no arms.
Yeah.
How is he going to play basketball? But man, he told me, Mr. Williams, I've never been on a team before. Even if I don't play, I just want to be on the team. And how could I say no to that?
And that's how the Eagles got their first armless basketball player. Jamarian, number two there, quickly earned a reputation as the hardest worker on the squad.
He was usually the first one in the gym, usually the last one to leave.
Scottsdale, he sat on the bench most of the season.
Try one more.
Until last month. Coach put him in the game with about 6 minutes left. And when he eventually got the ball on the far side of the court, everyone yelled, "Shoot it!" So he did. And sank. A three-pointer. And if you didn't quite see that, don't worry. Because shortly after, he got the ball again. This time on the near side. For another three-pointer. At the buzzer. Jamarian Stiles, the kid no one would pick, was now everyone's hero. Needless to say, today, Jamarian can play all he wants at the community center. He just made the volleyball team and has every intention of playing football next year. Really, the only thing he won't play is the victim.
If I could wave a magic wand right now and give you your arms back, would you want them?
I don't need them.
You don't need them?
No.
Who needs hands when you've got this kind of touch?
Now, learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking. He messed around. He saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he's here. He said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way because your package is going to keep going right on by because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go over on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it'll come. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places. I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Okay, while we're queuing up some stuff here, today's topic, at least lead-off topic, is Arthur C. Clarke, futurist. I ran across this guy early this morning. Arthur C. Clarke, futurist, Commuting versus Communicating, 619-768-2945. Now, if you go to our page, and that's It's My House TV, go to Facebook, It's My House TV, we have at the top of that page, hold on, let me double check. It's either the, well, I'm going to it right now. It's either the Ferrari, here we go, I'm on it. Okay. All right, hold it, I got to. Well, you're going to have to scroll down. Okay. I'm going to see if I, all right, I'm going to put it back at the top of the page. Here in a moment, but scroll down till you see, it's a guy with glasses, Arthur C. Clarke predicts the internet in 1964. Let me see if I can move this to the top of the page. It's a short little video, talks about, I mean, this is 1964, and he was like spot on with stuff that's happening today in 2021, almost 2022. Let's see, where do I want this? Okay. Well, let me go back to group. Share to group. One of the things that he mentions in this short little, hold on, now let me find the group again, is he talked about, now this is 1964, brain surgeons performing surgery on a patient that's in New Zealand. Okay, now, okay, I guess you guys are going to have to scroll down to that. Okay. Now, today in 2021, let me read you some headlines. There's one article here. It's called Remote Surgery. Also, 5G surgery. 5G surgery. I'm waiting for a man. All right. 5G surgery is being used to perform remote surgery from thousands of miles away. And, man, what always these pop-ups? and it could transform the healthcare industry. So in 1964, they weren't doing this, but now it's done. Doctors in China have used 5G to perform remote surgery, inserting a stimulation device in the brain of a Parkinson's patient nearly 1,900 miles away. The surgeon does not have to be in your physical space with 5G remote surgery. Here's another headline. 5G makes it possible by cutting the latency to almost instantaneous 2 milliseconds between devices, allowing surgeons to conduct procedures as if they were right next to the patient. Yet they're thousands of miles away or hundreds of miles away. Let's see. What else do they have here? In January this year, cameras were on hand to film the jaw-dropping sight of the world's first 5G remote surgery on a lab animal. Now, this article goes back, when was this written? This was on August 16, 2019, 2 years ago. Okay. 2 months later, it was a human's turn. When the doctors in the Chinese city of Sanya inserted a stimulation device in the brain of a Parkinson's patient nearly 1,900 miles away in Beijing, according to state media. At this point, you'd be forgiven for thinking that you are watching a sci-fi film set sometime in the future, but this is actually present-day surgery thanks to 5G technology. There's another article here, how 5G will banish the awkward video conference calls when you were out of the office and cut your commute time. One of the things that Clark brings out in his 1964 predictions, very accurate predictions at that, based on observation that he took at the time, is that commuting was very important, still is, but mass communication or communication will, in many cases, particularly when it comes to business and commerce, triumph over, or be preferred rather, over commuting. You know, a lot of times, and still now, a lot of cities earned quite a bit of money from people, you know, going to one city to the next city for business trips. You know, they had to get in front of somebody and they had to have the meeting, and then, you know, all these other, you know, hotels, motels, restaurants. There's a whole lot of businesses that were supported by the business traveler or even the tourist traveler. So what Clark is saying, Arthur C. Clark is saying, or said rather, because he's transitioned, is that communication, as far as commerce, will be preferred over commuting. So instead of flying from San Francisco to Beijing for business, you know, and now, you know, Zoom, everybody knows about Zoom all around the planet. So instead of, you know, Zoom or WhatsApp app or Facebook Messenger and, you know, Skype and these other services, StreamYard, Restreamio, you can save thousands of dollars in commuting fees. Then, now some jobs, you can't escape that. But there are people right now, really virtually every country in the world, I'm going to speak about here in the United States, there are people that might work in New York City, they might work in Silicon Valley, but it might take them a 3-hour commute, maybe even a 4-hour commute, each way, to get to work. 3 hours going to work, that's the commute. Then they work their 8 hours, okay, and then another 3 hour commute back home. Some people do that 5 days per week because a lot of times they cannot afford to live in the city where they're employed. But they can afford to live in a city that, you know, might be 3 or 4 hours away. So now, and we see it with this pandemic going on, a lot of people have been working for the last year or so remotely. Now, some jobs, you can't do that, all right, unless you get the robots in. Some jobs, if you're working at Popeye's Chicken or at a gas station or something like that, you've got to be there, all right? Some jobs, you might not have to come in as often, but a lot of people are working remotely. At Walmart, I'm noticing that, you know, you still have a lot of human help there, but then they got to check, you know, where you check yourself out section as well. They have one employee there just in case one of the machines gets skewed up or a person might need some quick customer service. But, you know, a lot of people can go through those lines and just check themselves out at that particular station. And then eventually, you know, they'll phase them in. They'll probably have one aisle with a robot. Then they have some more aisles with the regular checkout people, cashiers, as you see now, and, of course, the checkout, you know, part. And then eventually there'll be two robot aisles. And I'm sure they probably got a robot somewhere right now checking people out. But in any event, so 5G surgery, teleconference calls, communicating versus commuting, that's what it's here. It's here, and it's not the only way the ball is going, but it is actually here. So I would say go check out Arthur C. He was a futurist, but the clip that we have on our Facebook page, It's My House TV, check that out. You know, it's not long, two, 3 minutes. And then read, you know, or not read, but listen to some of his other, watch some of his other videos on YouTube. I think you'll find it interesting. Now, let's see. There's something else I wanted to read to you guys. Here we go. Remote surgery. And this comes across, because this can be applied to a lot of other things, business-wise, even for the small business entrepreneur. All right, remote surgery, also known as telesurgery, is the ability for a doctor to perform surgery on a patient even though they are not physically in the same location. It is a form of telepresence. And telepresence refers to a set of technologies which allow a person to feel as though they were present, to give the appearance of being present, and to have an effect via telerobotics at a place rather than true location. See, I'm looking at, instead of me being physically at a location to assist a person and helping them build their tiny space, tiny house, whatever you might call it, I'm hundreds, if not thousands of miles away doing the same thing. And you can sort of do that right now with live streams. You can sort of do that right. Actually, you can do that with live streams right now. But in any event, getting back to remote surgery, also known as telesurgery, remote surgery combines the elements of robotics, cutting-edge communication technology, such as high-speed data connections, and elements of management information systems, while the field of robotic surgery is fairly well established, most of these robots are controlled by surgeons at the location of the surgery. Remote surgery is essentially advanced telecommuting for surgeons, where the physical distance between the surgeon and the patient is less relevant. It promises to allow the expertise of specialized surgeons to be available to patients worldwide without the need for patients to travel beyond their local hospitals. That can be applied to many of industries that exist right now. I'm thinking about what we do here. They got surgical systems. They got the costs involved. It ain't cheap. The Lindbergh operation applications, unassisted robotic surgery, depth perception, possible uses. One possible uses of remote surgery is trauma pod project conceived by the U.S. military under the Defense of Advanced Research Agency. Is intended to aid wounded soldiers on the battleground by making use of the skills of remotely located medical personnel. Another future possibility could be the use of remote surgery during long space exploration missions. Limitations for now, remote surgery is not widespread technology, in part because it does not have sponsorship by the government. Well, eventually, I believe it will. Anyway, I think it's a very interesting video piece. Robin, any comments on commuting versus communicating or mass communicating? How it, and I think it's revolutionizing business at the moment too. Because, I mean, let's say you're an accountant. Do you really need to go to a brick and mortar location to do what you need to do? If you're a vice president, I mean, it all depends on the company and what you're doing. What that business does, but let's see, I'm checking out some things. But I'm looking at what we do. Like yesterday, I placed an ad, and I got a pretty decent response so far. But I'm thinking about, you know what? How can I place 10 ads in 10 different places and physically not be at any of the places? That's the way my mind's clicking right now. Okay. I'm trying to find something for you guys, but can't find it. All right, well, that's the main thing I wanted to put out here. I wanted to have you guys, what else was there? All right, they're doing surgery from thousands of miles away, or at least hundreds of miles away. Arthur C. Clarke also mentions in that video the traditional role of big cities. And a lot of your big cities, you know, they have their tourist department. But a lot of big cities now are just not, they're too expensive for the average run-of-the-mill person. So you're going to have, there are people that are flowing out of your larger cities, like your mega cities, and they're going to places where they can start their own communities, where they can work remotely. You know, they might live in a town that has 100 people or less. but they can live sustainably in those towns, financially speaking. Yet, they could have a job that's hundreds, if not thousands of miles away. So I see communities popping up like that. And, all right, I'm trying to find, well, let's go with this.
Okay. All right. I'm putting cases on all you bitches. Huh? You think you can do this shit? Jay! You think you can do this to me? You motherfuckers will be playing basketball in Pelican Bay when I get finished with you. Shoe program, nigga. 23-hour lockdown. I'm the man up in this piece. You'll never see the light of day. Who the fuck you think you fucking with? I'm the police. I run shit here. You just live here. Yeah, that's right. You better walk away. Go on, walk away, because I'm going to burn this motherfucker down. King Kong ain't got shit on me. Shit, I don't fuck. I'm winning anyway. I'm winning. I'm winning any motherfucking way. I can't lose. Shit, you can shoot me, but you can't kill me.
see you. Oh, what a day. What a motherfucking day.
People keep talking about how the world is going to come to an end. And I wonder, in these days and these times, if anybody people keep talking about how society is falling down today. And as hard as I try not to listen just to what them folks got to say, but you know, I just can't help but look around and see we digging our own grave. And there's just one thing I want to know. Can anybody be saved? Where? my knees. Will it give me just another day? Will the air I breathe be better if I'm not around you? Will the man be spared that spoke the truth? Cause he never did abuse it.
From desire. As long as I wanna be saved, how can I be free in my mind? As long as I'm a slave, is anybody here gonna be saved? Is anybody gonna be saved? Oh, save again.
I'm never too- I go?
We got one out of two of them motherfuckers, you know?
You mean you motherfuckers come strolling in here all walking tall and shit?
Look, B.I., man, I'm saying, man, we was blazing on them dudes, man, you know what I'm saying? Just got in the heat, man. We was blazing, though. It was late.
All right. Relax, man. I already heard. Go sit down. I'm not tweaking behind none of this. That's one less motherfucker that's breathing than was yesterday. You know what I'm saying? So we all good. But I'm surprised with you, though, man. Shit didn't get by you back when.
Well, my man's fault, man. I unloaded on the younger too soon, man. Gave him enough room to buck and run, man. I fucked that shit up myself, you know.
Hold on. It's on me. I had that kid in my sights. Close enough to take off his Kango and half his dome with it. Couldn't squeeze the trigger. Couldn't do it, man.
Why not?
Wasn't in me, I guess. You know, whatever it is in you that lets you flow like you flow and do that thing, it ain't in me no more.
All right. So you done soldiering, but you ain't done. Could use you for what you got in your head. We're going to put you on a corner. You could be inside.
Oh, man. I ain't making myself clear. The game ain't in me no more. None of it.
But you ain't done shit else. You know what I'm saying? So what you going to do?
But it can't be this.
All right, then. We straight.
B, he was a man in his time, you know?
He a man today. He a man.
Did you prime it? That little rubber ball right there next to the spark plug. Got to push it in three times before you try to start it. Gets the gas going to the car.
You want the truth? I ain't never used one of these. Never had no call to.
Yeah, well, I didn't pick you up for your landscaping skills. All these Spanish, they on paper too. Only use people like y'all. Sometimes it comes back on me, sometimes it works out fine.
Well, how long you been uptown?
10 years.
Hotter than a motherfucker out here.
Yeah, it's hot. Every day. You gonna be riding in the back of that hard truck, bouncing around. Every day, and your back's going to be yelling at you. Every day. I used to drive an SL, pretty gold convertible, nice rims. I don't even think on that car no more.
You put it behind you, huh?
Some can't. I'm just saying, you want to stay on the straight. Ain't going to be no big reward to it. This is it, right here. Prime that bitch three times. She'll start right up.
And today's podcast is titled Arthur C. Clarke. Arthur C. Clarke was, he's a transition, but he was a futurist. And commuting versus communicating. On our Facebook page, It's My House TV, that's our Facebook page. I guess you're going to have to scroll down until you run across the video of Arthur C. Clarke. And it's a short video, but it was done in 1964, the caption is, you know, he's predicting the Internet. And one of the things that he mentioned on there is that communicating will be more important or be used more than commuting. And one example that he cited, now this is 1964, that neurosurgeons, also known as brain surgeons, will be able to perform, they can be physically in Scotland, perform in real time surgery on a patient as far away as New Zealand. That's a long way from Scotland. Now, if you go online and you type in the term remote surgery or 5G surgery or telesurgery, it's here. And once again, we're living in the age of the Jetsons. And let me read it again. Remote surgery, also known as telesurgery, is the ability for a doctor to perform surgery on a patient even though they are not physically in the same location. Now, let me put a period there. This is also a form of telepresence. You can apply, matter of fact, let me read present, telepresence. Telepresence refers to the set of technologies which allows a person to feel as though they were present, to give the appearance of being present, or have the effect via telerobotics at a place other than their true location. Telepresence, um, 5G communication to many things. So Cuddy, you know, when he got out of prison, and he was in prison for a long stretch, there's going to come a time where he won't be able to get a landscaping job as we know it today, because somebody that might live in Moscow or Timbuktu or Nome, Alaska, will be able to cut your grass. And you might live, well, if Cuddy was in Baltimore, you might have a person that provides you lawn care service from Nome, Alaska. That day's here. Now, it hasn't spread among, you know, a whole lot of industries, but, if you can do something as delicate as surgery from hundreds of miles, if not practically thousands of miles away, and they're doing it in China right now. And people are already used to Zoom, Yardstream. So instead of, booking a ticket by plane, train, bus, or whatever, and going thousands of miles away, some things you're not going to be able to do remotely. You know, there's a limit. I bought several pieces of property, but one particular piece of property I bought, it's, it's probably 1,000 miles away from me. And I was able to transact half of that transaction online. Then another part I had to do by Federal Express. And I can probably get people to live there online, but there's certain things. Is at a point all I need to do is find somebody boots on the ground in that location, and I don't have to be there at all. But I like to go there to get the feel of things. Robin, are you on the radar this morning? But anyway, commuting versus mass communication, that's what we're at right now. Robin, what did you get to see that video on by Arthur C. Clarke?
I haven't watched it yet. I'm sorry. I'll take a look.
No problem.
Yeah, sorry.
Take a quick look at it. It's about 2 minutes. And you know what? Actually, you know what? While Robin's doing that, let me, let me play some interlude music. Then Robin, when you're ready, just let me know, and I'll shut the music off.
Okay. And then what?
What were you saying?
Where is the video?
All right, go to It's My House TV on Facebook, and then scroll down till you see Arthur C. Clarke predicts the internet.
Okay. All right.
All right. And then when you're ready, I'll shut the music off.
Okay.
Certified freak, 7 days a week. Wet ass pussy, make that pullout game weak. Yeah, you fucking with some wet ass pussy. Bring a bucket and a mop, put this wet ass pussy. Give me everything you got, put this wet ass pussy. Beat it up, nigga, catch a charge. Extra large and extra hard. Put this pussy right in your face. Swipe your nose like a credit card. Hop on top, I wanna ride. I do a kegel, one inside. Spit in my mouth, look in my eyes. This pussy is wet, come take a dive. Tie me up like I'm surprised. That's role play, I wear disguise. I want you to park that Big Mac truck right in this little garage. Make it scream, make me scream. I don't public, make a scene. I don't cook, I don't clean, but let me tell you, I got this ring.
Gobble me, swallow me, strip down inside of me. Quick jump out for you, let it get inside of me. I tell them where to put it, never tell them where I'm about to be. I run down on them before I have a nigga running me. Talk your shit, bite your lip. Ask for a call while you ride that dick. Why you really ain't never got him fucking for a thing. He already made his mind up before he came. Now get your boots, hang your coat, but this wet ass pussy. He bought a phone just for pictures of this wet ass pussy. Pay my tuition just to kiss me on this wet ass pussy. Now make it rain if you wanna see some wet ass pussy.
Look, I need a hard hit, I need a deep stroke, I need a Henny drink, I need a weed smoke. Not a garden snake, I need a King Cobra with a hook in it, hope it lead over. He got some money, then that's where I'm headed. Pussy A1, just like his credit. He got a beard, well I'm tryna wet it. I let him piss, now he diabetic. I don't wanna spit, I wanna go, I wanna gag, I wanna choke. I want you to touch that little dangly thing that's swinging the back of my throat. My head is fire, Punani the sunny is going and drying, it's coming outside, yeah. I run on that stand, the cars behind me. I spit on his mic and I heat tryna sign me.
Your Honor, I'm a freak bitch, handcuffs, leashes. Switch my wig, make him feel like he T10. Put him on his knees, give him something to believe in. Never lost a fight, but I'm looking for a beat. In the food chain, I'm the one that eat you. If he ate my ass, he's a bottom feeder. Big D stand for big demeanor. I can make you bust before I ever meet you. If it don't hang, then he can't bang. You can't hurt my feelings, but I like pain. If he fuck me and ask who's is it, when I ride the dick, I'ma spell my name.
Yeah, you fucking with some wet ass pussy. Bring a bucket and a mop, put this wet ass pussy. Give me everything you got, put this wet ass pussy. Now from the top, make it drop, that's some wet ass pussy. Now get a bucket and a mop, that's some wet ass pussy. I'm talking wop, 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 that's some wet ass pussy. Macaroni in a pot, that's some wet ass pussy, huh?
Hey, stove girlfriend, we need to talk for a minute.
Yeah, sweet thing.
We met before.
Nah, baby, but that can happen.
We ain't met, excuse me.
Hey, it's just talk, baby.
Get the fuck out, boy.
Ooh. Hey, look, girl, all we need for you to do is talk to us for 5 minutes.
It's just sound stupid.
Hey, look, hold on, girl. All we want to do is...
Now we gonna talk.
Rockefellers on the spot.
Man, that's him right there. In that G35, man.
Wearing a retro?
That shit is tight.
$430, it better be.
Hell yeah. I'm going to get me one of those motherfuckers.
You must going to get that Muxie Bowles then. Little mini-me ass going to be swimming in that sale.
As usual, man, y'all fools are missing my point. That boy came up short on that money last week, and y'all see he out here grinding. So where that money at?
You need to look beyond what he driving and wearing on his back. That boy got a girlfriend?
He went with this little freak up at the high school.
She wearing ice?
She wearing an onion. That's about all I can remember.
Hell yeah.
Yo, check out the girl. High school girl with platinum around her neck. Only one place it came from.
Give my man this thing. Fig sour. That ain't no Larkin, dog.
Used to revolvers, man. 38 don't jam.
Don't hold 15 neither.
Game done changed.
Game the same. Just got more feds.
Robert, you got through it yet?
Yes.
Okay, what's your take on it?
One giant suburb.
Well, break it down for the people that might have not seen it. Well, I mean, what did you see on that video?
So Arthur C. Clarke, back in 1964, he talked about being able to communicate, actually being able to do business and without seeing the person or knowing the person's physical location.
Right.
Okay? You can do business. You can conduct business from anywhere in the world to anywhere in the world. And
including surgery.
Including surgery. And we see that they're doing that now with Skype, right? They will come on Skype.
Zoom, StreamYard, all it.
And you'd have the doctors sitting there and the students would be on the other end, right, or whatever.
Right.
Yes. And so now we don't have to commute because we can communicate, which is the mode of transmission and transportation.
Right.
You can go all over the world just by opening your mouth on a VOIP. Voice over internet protocol. And you don't even have to talk. If you don't want to, you can point and click.
Right. Now, break down what is 5G? I've heard a lot about it, but what is it?
Oh,
because they're performing
surgery
using 5G.
Yeah. Basically, it's just an upgrade on the internet. So they've opened and exposed more band and more bandwidth in another dimension, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not really well versed enough to really explain to anybody what the fight,
okay,
what it actually is. I'm
now,
sorry.
What about his comments on he used the term abolishing cities? I don't know if some of these big cities will be abolished, but we have noticed, like in places like Baltimore, not so much D.C., but Baltimore, Indianapolis, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, Detroit, Michigan, Flint, Michigan, a lot of cities in the Rust Belt, Buffalo, New York, Cleveland, Ohio, probably Columbus, Ohio, and other, probably Cincinnati, Ohio. A lot of those cities have quite a few vacant buildings.
Yeah.
So although the city might not be totally abolished, but a lot of people have moved out of those cities. So what do you think about his comment on, I don't know if the two cities will be totally abolished, but Detroit did go bankrupt some years ago, and quite a few people have moved out of Detroit, and Detroit has like over 50,000 vacant buildings.
Well, you know what, and that's ridiculous for them to go out because they can take those money. We did it. Put an ad in and make it available for the people to occupy and live and work in.
Mm-hmm.
And even let the people offer you the price they're going to pay you. How about that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
There's no reason. We did it this morning. We did it this morning and yesterday and over the. There's no reason for vacant buildings and for cities to be going bankrupt, because we just showed you can place an ad and people will show up with money and pay.
In particular, I like what you said, the business model of, you know, let people name their price.
Okay.
Yeah, let people name their price. I think one of the problems with a lot of these cities is that some of these cities with the local government, they have unionized government work, well, they have a unionized workforce, and that's expensive. And then who do they go for to pay for that? You know, they go to the property owners. So they have higher property taxes, and if they don't pay that, that's how a lot of these cities took back a lot of these, like some place like the Flint, Michigan, Columbus, Ohio, they have land banks, and land banks are basically properties that the city took back from private owners because they couldn't pay their water bill or they couldn't pay their property taxes. And then the city has a glut of inventory that, you know, and a lot of these properties were owned by people that had mortgages on them, and a lot of people paid their mortgages off. But under the municipal system, if you own real estate in these municipalities, particularly the large ones, if you don't pay the water bill, if you take municipal water, and you don't have to, but if you take municipal water, don't pay the bill, they can auction your property off. So Columbus has a land. Quite a few cities have their own land bank. Matter of fact, I'm going to see if I can find the number of them. So I think you've got people that are moving out of these larger cities into in the smaller cities. Now, what about the idea of, because if they can do surgery from 1,900 miles away, God, what else can you do from a remote location? I'd say practically anything. There are probably some things you can't, but I mean, I'm pretty impressed by the surgery part.
I bet you say there's nothing you can't do.
Right. Because I'm thinking, you know what, you can probably even set up you can set up communities. All right, let's see. Land banks, according to the CCP, whatever that is, there are around 120 land banks in operation in the United States. That's 120 cities where government through, most of these are found around the states of Michigan, Ohio, now that's the Rust Belt part of it, and Georgia, and eight other states that have passed state enabling land bank legislation. That's where the banks, all right, which states have land banks? Let's see, as of May 2019, 25 states have, that's half the United States, 25 states have land banks, and 11 states have comprehensive legislation that support land banks. Alabama, Georgia, Michigan, Missouri, Nebraska, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia, and Delaware. Let's see, what is the land bank system? Land banks are quasi-government entities created by counties or municipalities to effectively manage and repurpose an inventory of underused, abandoned, or foreclosed property, primarily by the city. They are often chartered to have powers to enable them, that's the city, the local government, to accomplish the goals. And in other words, the city, if you didn't pay your water bill or your property taxes, they can foreclose on the property, even if you paid off the mortgage, and then they can sell it to somebody else. Definition. Land banks acquire. I read that part. History. Land banking originated in the 1920s and 30s as a means of making low-priced land available for housing and ensuring orderly development. I like to correct that definition. My definition, it's my house definition, is land banking originated in the 1920s and 30s as a means of local municipalities' way of generating revenue. Because that's the entity that's going to foreclose on you, the local city, at the local city level, and they're the ones that land bank it so together, and they're the ones who sell it. That's just my house definition of land banking. Let's see, the period of deindustrialization in the United States, coupled with the increased suburbanization in the middle of the 20th century, left many American cities with large amounts of vacant and blighted industrial, residential, and commercial property. And once again, when you got exorbitant property taxes, when you got expensive municipal fees, water bills, expensive, some municipalities have their own electric, and you got to make a payroll, cost a government payroll. Now you got some government local employees that are unionized workers, which that means is more expensive. Then you got people retiring. Then you got to come up with, you got to keep on. Local governments are ravenous for cash. That's why I recommend the Amish strategy. Go to a rural location where the less people, the less expensive it is. Now, you're going to have to pay some property taxes, but it'll be dramatically lower than it is in a more densely populated area. Next thing, you can create your own housing, but don't turn that housing into real estate. In other words, don't put it on a permanent foundation. You know, you can put it on skids, put it on a deck, platform, but something where, you know, the city can't claim it as real estate and then put a property tax assessment on it and then tax you from it. The first land bank was created in St. Louis in 1971, while additional municipalities, you know what, and let me look up something right now. All right. Number of vacant homes in St. Louis, Missouri. St. Louis has 3,774 vacant houses, or 4.4% of the city's housing stock. The vacancy rate was ranked number 9, I guess, in the United States. And then, hold, let me double-check another place. All right, now, here's another statistic. Under the direction of the Land Reutilization Authority, the nation's first land bank, the city of St. Louis, Missouri, owns 10,000 vacant properties. That's right in the original number that I put out there, with nearly 11,000 additional privately owned vacant or abandoned parcels in the city limits. There's a market of people. Well, Robin, what's your take on the availability of, you pointed out this morning, break that down on people that might not have, like here in Florida, at least in my neck of the woods, you had to have first month's, last month's, and a security deposit to move in. And then once you move in, you got to go through a credit check. If your credit isn't up to par, then you got to pay a security deposit to get you utilities cut on.
And
but a lot of people
that.
Don't have $1,000.
Oh, wait a minute. It minimum cost, moving cost, $3,000 and upward.
Mm-hmm.
Average, I would say, is about maybe $10,000 to move. First, last month's rent deposit, and then all the deposits to get connected with everything.
Right, right.
Yeah. And people are struggling just to pay their monthly rent, just to live.
Right.
So, wow.
Now, let me explain to the people. The ad that we placed yesterday was, I placed an ad that gave people two options. I said, I got a space in the backyard, just a space in the backyard. I took pictures of it and put it up there. Three pictures of the backyard from different angles. Backyard space available. Bring your own tent. Okay. Now, for those of you who have a tent, you know, I mean, all right, if you don't have your own tent, I mean, if you do have your own tent, vacant spot. And then, you know, the other one, you know, I'll throw in the tent. So I got offers on the low end of $280 to the highest, which was $450. One guy's got a trailer, which I guess he's at a camper. I guess he's at a car to tow it. But that was unsolicited. That's just for backyard space with or without a tent. I've gotten like 15, 16 inquiries, and it's not 24 hours yet. Now that's just for a backyard. Now, we'll do the same thing for 4 acres, and we'll probably place about 3 or 4 ads for that. Because on 4 acres, I got enough space strategically for about 10, 15 people. But without them probably even knowing that, you know, barely any of them are there. But the highest unsolicited offer was like $450. The lowest one was 280. But that's 15 or 16 inquiries for a backyard with just space. So for me, Robin already knew about the market. For me, this is like a surprising market, and it's because, like Robin said, it's a lot of people don't have, you know, they might have a job, they might have reliable transportation, but they don't have, you know, those exorbitant, you know, they might not even have $1,000, you know, to move into a place.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people like that. So.
Yeah. It's really hard. Living is really, really hard. And then especially if you're living in a place where they're allowed to raise the rent with 2-week notices, 14-day notices. So they just made in Seattle and Washington State, landlords have to give 180-day notice on rent increases. And if people have to move because of the rent increase, the landlords, they have to pay towards some of their moving costs. So that's going to stop these people from gouging, which is, like, really ridiculous. You know,
well,
people
up in your neck of the woods, like Seattle, now the
tiny
bit I know about Seattle, it seems like you need to be a wealthy person to live in Seattle. I'm sure there's some exceptions. Well, what's your because that's not a place for a poor person, from what I can hear.
It's not a place for a poor person. However, if you are poor and are homeless, it's the very best place to be because of all the programs and the services that they have available for you. Mm-hmm. So Seattle is, if you're homeless, you can actually come here and come up. Get up and stay up. Okay? Oh, yeah. It's
now,
so
hold
on,
Eric, because you do have some homeless encampments up there. But how can you, well, explain how, because you got some $1 million, you got quite a few $1 million, $500,000 to $1 million plus properties in Seattle.
Yeah.
So how can a person, well, you know, how could you work the system to come up and then get up and then stay up, unless you start some type of business?
Okay, so one way is, and we've talked, I learned this on the show, house sitting. Be a professional house sitting. Now you've got a job.
That is a good market up there for that, yeah.
And guess what? You go and you get a tax ID number and you make a LLC, right?
Mm-hmm.
You make a family business and boom, there you go. Just like that.
All right. I got a call this morning, which I told you about. I'm going to share with the audience now. Not a call, but an inquiry. A lady with two kids, she's interested in the backyard. Okay. And matter of fact, you know, the first three or four inquiries were all women. But this particular woman has two kids. She's got a 4-year-old and a 12-year-old. And she was calling about the backyard space. So now let's transfer this to Seattle, Washington, or which is in King County, Washington State. And I'm sure there are women in that same position up in that neck of the woods too, single parent with a 4-year-old and 12-year-old. But now you already named house sitting, but what are some of the other options in that same, you know, what else could they do besides house sitting?
Daycare, right? So
now, don't you have to be licensed for that?
Not necessarily. Well, if you're having a facility and blah blah blah, right? But
yeah.
You're out there and it's just you, right? And you're homeless. You might encounter someone at the grocery store or at church because you're still living your life. You know, people who are homeless, they're not just suspended in space somewhere, right? You're still going along. You might encounter someone that she goes, wow, I've got a couple of kids and I've got this new job, but I can't take it because I can't afford the daycare.
Right.
The
there's
daycare
a lot of parents like
than,
that. Right.
Right.
Daycare is expensive. Yeah.
So you could say, well, hey, give me a place to stay and then I'll watch your kids. And you still pay me, too, because I'm a business, remember?
Right.
Right? And there you go. In a situation like that, you don't have to. When you can private party and hire someone to watch your kids, you
well,
know.
Well, that's true. Yeah, babysitters, as they call them.
Okay. Something else, go borrow someone's lawn equipment. And go mow some lawn. Go mow one lawn. You can get $100.
If the lawn's big enough. You're right.
Well, I'm saying, you know, get your hustle on.
That's what
but,
I mean, get your hustle on. Now, Robin, you know that the audio of Clark, can you play it where we can hear it? Because I can't. My regular YouTube audio thing, it ain't working like it used to.
My computer crashed and doing a scanning repairing drive as we speak, so I'm not able to.
Okay.
At the moment, I'm sorry.
One of the things that he mentioned was the abolishment of cities.
So I want to make a comment about that. The cities won't so much abolish or go away. It's just that the boundary lines are going to go away. So it's going to be like one connected glob of an area. The whole world, the whole planet is going to be connected by this beam and energy, which is 5G now. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the 5G, if I'm not mistaken, it actually forms a physical energy band around the planet. That,
okay.
And that satellites and everything else connect to. So I can't even comprehend how all that can begin to work to try to tell you. You know, but it's pretty amazing, but it's pretty scary too, because that means that they can have a device up in the atmosphere that can pinpoint on you physically. And
well,
and
they
sonar.
Do it with drones now. I mean, dropping bombs and all that.
And sonar. I know that they do it, but I mean the level that from there it's more precise. And it's probably on record 24/7 a day. So you know what they're doing, and what's frightening about it is the fact that I'm very keenly aware, as everybody else should be, is that the government, their interest and their take on technology is to weaponize
it.
Against people. Weaponize.
It's to what now? Oh, yeah, weaponize it.
All right.
Oh, yeah, well, that's how I see a lot of these towns that have land banks.
Even welfare. Even welfare is a weapon, and people need to understand that. Just saying.
Well, there's a town, I think it's Highland City, Michigan. Let me look at that. Highland City, I think it's Highland City. City, Michigan. That town had did a lot, I think it's, let's see, water bills. At one time, they had a very high foreclosure rate where...
That should be illegal. Where
Highland Park.
Where
they've done it in Baltimore. They've done it in a number of cities.
Right.
That's why I don't like the idea of real estate no more.
Because then they sit there and then they let those buildings sit there and be abandoned, okay, until they offer
right.
to sell them off. And they don't even particularly care if they do. Meanwhile, people living homeless in tent cities and blubbity blobbity blobbity blah. It's absurd. I'm sorry. There's just a lot of things that these cities could and should be doing.
Okay, let me read this. The Guardian.
But they want to send code enforcement out on you to assess you.
Well, I
so
consider
you can pay
code
taxes.
Enforcement. Now, this is just
the new disciple.
Exactly. I consider the code enforcement, maybe not in all places, but I consider particularly armed code enforcement, the new Gestapo.
Yeah.
I know probably Pianco will probably disagree with that. But, all right, now, the headline I'm reading here, all right, not not just, well, they're revenue collectors. Not just Detroit. Residents of nearby Michigan City face $11,000 water bills. All right, Highland Park, that's not how it is. Highland Park, not Highland City. Highland Park, Michigan, which is a small hamlet surrounded by the city of Detroit, okay, has endured a water war of its own daunting, if not more, severe consequences. One recent evening in June, 1,000 activists crammed inside the kitchen of Emma Fogel's home in Highland Park, a small hamlet surrounded by the city of Detroit. The city is under siege. They say faced with the predicament of being cut off from the municipal water supply. See,
yep.
I don't take municipal water. I'm off the grid. I don't take municipal water, and probably most of my neighbors don't take municipal water.
But there are some locations. Watch this. So you don't have to take municipal water, right? And you like, there's a piece of land in Yelm that I got approved to buy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while we could get permits and stuff for the water well and blah, 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 there was
right.
a moratorium and they had reached the limit on the connections
okay.
to that. So
there's always rainwater.
And then it's also illegal to collect rainwater.
Well, then there's all you can always have it shipped in.
Right,
you can have
but
it shipped
I'm just,
in
I'm just saying that some locations,
yeah, some places
like,
yeah, rainwater harvesting is outlawed, but where I'm at, I can do
what
both.
What I'm saying is that when these communities develop, there's usually some sort of relationship with whatever, for
right.
the water, for whatever, right? So now these guys are in danger. So what happened in their relationship that they're in danger of losing their connection to the water? Because once they
mm-hmm.
do that, watch this. It's not going to be as simple for them to go and dig wells and blah, blah, blah. You know, people aren't set up for that. They don't have pipes. They don't have a structure for that. And
right.
it should be illegal to do that. It should be illegal to do some of the things that these municipalities are doing. Okay?
I agree.
And
well,
being able to assist themselves to your property in what
right.
should be a private electric or whatever service shouldn't have water utilities, shouldn't have nothing to do with my house that I own. You're just giving me a service. But if I don't
well,
pay
like
the
I
bill,
say,
you're going to take my house.
Once it's classified as real
oh,
estate.
Oh, the hell you are. I'm going to blow this whole city up.
Well, it's easier just. That's why I like the Amish business model. They go in rural areas where they can dig. They can legally do their wells. They can legally harvest rainwater. If you're in a let me read the rest of this with Highland Park, Michigan. The city is under siege, and they should put in here, the city is under siege of its own making. They say faced with the predicament of being cut off from municipal water supply, the group convened the. See, you know what? In a place like that, all right, I'm not
yeah.
going. But you know what? Another way they get you is, I got a piece of property in a densely populated place where, and the water's off. I had the
yeah.
meter removed, but they still send me a monthly sewage, you know, bill. Because once again, these large municipalities are they're like crack addicts. They're addicted to. They need the revenue.
Right, but you're still connected to that main line, the sewage.
Yeah, well, like I say, the the other the two locations that you're familiar with, I don't have to pay any of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not taking no money. I don't want no municipal nothing. Other than the road that leads to the front of the property. Other than that, and I don't mind paying taxes on that. Other than that, I don't want no municipal water. I don't want no municipal electricity. I don't, nothing. Nothing. Anyway, the group convened the meeting over a deep dish pizza and soda to hammer out a three-day march. See, marching ain't going to do shit. If you're going to march over water bills, particularly if you're in the state of Michigan, you may as well march to a city where you can buy rural land and you can dig, you can do your own wells, harvest your own rainwater, purify your own water, and be done with it. If you're going to march, you may as well march to a location where you'll be free.
May I say something really fast?
Yes, ma'am.
The protesting, it's really like it doesn't accomplish anything. Okay, you would be better served if you put your effort into something that's going to result in you owning or blah blah blah. After you've marched, the problem is still there. You probably made it worse because now you got the police mad at you, Amifa, Black Lives Matter, Me Too, woo woo wah wah, right? So,
right.
You know, stay focused.
Right. Now, read more of this article. It says, I'm going to post this on It's Miles TV Facebook page in a few minutes. The state does not want us to have water, according to Fogle, a 74-year-old retired Ford worker. It's Highland Park that doesn't want you to have, affordable water. Since last year, the tribulations of the neighboring Detroit's water shutoff program have drawn significant attention worldwide as tens of thousands of residents face the threat of the city employees are not cheap.
Yep.
Then unionized city employees are more expensive. And then all these people, they want benefits. They want health insurance.
Yep.
They want the dental plan. And then you got retirees. You got to make a certain amount of money to pay your retirees. So in the state of Michigan, these people, I would say move to rural Michigan, move to the Upper Peninsula or move, you know, get the hell out of Detroit. Anyway, since last year, the tribulations of neighboring Detroit's water shutoff program have drawn significant attention worldwide as tens of thousands of residents face the threat of the city turning off their tap for owing as little as $150 overdue water bills. Man, call up the Culligan man. Call up the Culligan man and have them deliver a whole bunch of water to you.
And there are public wells where you can go and get your water too. Because that's what when I was in Tacoma, there was an unfloridated well,
right.
And I would
go
take my little jug out there and go right up to that pump and look, 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 look.
All right, let's see. And it goes further. But in Highland Park, Michigan, has endured a water war. I read that part already. Years of dysfunctional service, inconsistent billing, faulty meters. See, this is all on the city. A constantly changing staff has resulted in some receiving water bills as high as $11,000.
Right.
The median income in the city is $19,311. Between roughly 2,700 residential and commercial accounts, 129 were assessed water bills of over $10,000. According to Kathy Scare, Highland Park City Administrator, I got to get somebody on there to call in to participate in one of these podcasts. Including people who have lost their homes to water bill foreclosures. There's some odd cases where the bills are high, she says. Now, residents are being told that they had to pay even more for water access. See, that's part of the thing that we'll be doing with Patreon. It's really not difficult, but educating people on water.
Yeah.
I had a guest on here about 3 months ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We had a guest on here from Oklahoma about 3 months ago, and he accurately put it, essentially, we're walking on an ocean of water. The thing is, depending on where you live, like, once again, if you live in some of these larger urbanized areas, you know, it is, you can't, it's outlawed. You cannot dig a well on your little patch of earth.
Or you can,
outlawed.
But there might be a moratorium that you, there's a, the community has reached the maximum limit of connections to.
Right. And that's one of the first things, that, you know, can I dig a well, and can I harvest my water? Those are the first two questions I ask. Well, actually, it's three. Is it zone agricultural? Because I like to get agricultural zone property, because it has the most. I don't want to deal with a residentially zoned area. Agriculturally owned property, I mean, is the land zone agricultural? Question number one. Two, can I dig my own well for water? Three, can I harvest my own water? If those are three yeses, I'll buy the property.
Oh yeah, you got a deal.
But other than that, if it's no, if it's no to any one of those, I'm not interested. Let's see. This week, Highland Park, Michigan City Council approved rate increases. See, then rate increases. You already got people that can't afford to pay a $10,000 water bill. Then you want a rate increase over that. These are nothing but crack. They might not make me literally crack addicts, but a lot of these local governments are addicted to cash. They have a ravenous appetite for cash, like a crackhead. Right, let's see. Highland Park City approved rate increases that more than double residential bills. A move, officials say, that brings the city back in line with the rates that it maintained 2 years ago. For the average household in the city, the quarterly bill jumped from $171 to $376, a 119% increase. Now, see, the crime in that is, what average homeowner who works a 9-to-5 job or retired is going to get 119% raise on their paycheck or their retirement check? It's not going to happen. Because most of those, now you can probably do something like that if you start a business and be real successful at it, but most people are not going to do that.
Right.
That's my, man, I move out the city anyway. It's one of several processes in motion to launch Highland City towards the 21st century. You know what? How many? Let's see. There's another lady, Marion Kramer, 71. Let's see. Number of vacant buildings in Highland. Number of vacant homes in Highland Park, Michigan. Let's see. Okay, wait a minute. Number of vacant, no, I don't want vacant homes. Hey, I do. Let me narrow my search here. Let's see. Updated vacant resident. Oh, that's registered. And now, let's see. Latest Highland Park foreclosure and foreclosed homes. Highland Park. They got a Highland Park. I want Highland Park, Michigan. Okay. Abandoned homes. Yeah, a lot of people do. They walk. Let's see. Abandoned homes, Highland Park. Okay. I got somebody's Pinterest page. Let's see. Okay, abandoned homes, Highland Park. Well, they got a few. Okay, wait a minute. See, the prospect of a judgment could be disastrous for Fogle. All right, let's see. All right. Meanwhile, pending litigation stemming from a dispute over a wholesale payment from Detroit's water system could result in a $26 million judgment against the city, a drastic sum that will probably be resolved through residents' tax bills. The prospect of a judgment could be disastrous, Fogle says, explains that 80% of the city's residents live in senior homes. All right, this is in Highland Park, Michigan, meaning the remaining 2,000 property owners will probably bear the brunt through their property tax rolls. In the community full of residents living off fixed incomes, the possibility of Fogle losing her home to foreclosure, now this is over a water bill, seems more of a reality. In fact, Highland Park is facing a series of potential outcomes so extreme that they could pose an existential threat to the city. Detroit has threatened to order the largest shutoff yet to all of Highland Park. The officials have floated the possibility of dissolving Highland Park altogether. You know what? That dude was right on the money in 1964. Dissolving that's the abolishment of a city. I mean, it still exists. And folding it into Detroit. It becomes a global, and Detroit, if you buy a house in Detroit now, if there was an outstanding water bill, put it this way, if you buy a house, let's say, for $1,000 in Detroit right now, which you can do, all right, you also have to pay the outstanding water bill that was left behind by the previous people and your closing costs. That's what's going on in Detroit right now. All right. It becomes a global part. Like I say, a lot of these larger municipalities, they're not sustainable. Well, Pleasant Stephens said it best. You got to be wealthy to live in some of these places. So, I'm taking a page out of the Amish and Mennonite thing.
Yeah.
Find you a rural location, and you might have to learn some new skills, you know. But hey, that's all right. Okay. Well. Anyway, check out Arthur C. Go to our Facebook page. It's My House TV. Scroll down till you see Arthur C. Clarke predicts the internet in 1964. Okay, it's like it's 1 minute and 56 seconds, a little bit under 2 minutes piece, but the man's, right on the money. And you can take what he said and then you can just, all right, start applying it to different type of opportunities, or industries that are out there. there. Okay, let's go to the phone lines here. And Arthur C. Clarke, he's transitioned, but he was a futurist. And something that he touched on in that little clip on, what do you call it? And he's got a bunch of videos on YouTube. But commuting versus communicating. Now, there's some videos on YouTube about people that commute. They have long commutes to work on a daily basis. Like many people, and I'm just giving this one example, that work in Silicon Valley can't afford to live in Silicon Valley. They might have to commute. Their commute to work might be 3 hours one way to get to work. And then they work their 8 hours, and then it's another 3 hours back home at night. You know, so, and then you got people that take the shuttle to work. They might take they might go something I'm familiar with, D.C. to Baltimore, or D.C. to Philly, or D.C. to New York. D.C. to New York, that's a 4-hour commute by bus, so, car. But most, they take a train is a 4-hour commute, or you can fly. But still,
yeah,
it's a daily commute.
Or you can point and click and be there instantly.
Right. And that's one of the things that Arthur C. Clarke talked about, commuting, which they call, well, now people telecommute.
Correct.
And telecommuting comes right under communicating. So not everything can be done that way. But then I'm thinking, damn, if somebody can do, because surgery is physical. Surgery is physical. And they've already successfully, we're going overtime, people, we're not going anywhere. Surgery is a physical activity, but they're doing it. People are, maybe not in this country yet, but in China and probably a couple other places, they have successfully performed physical surgeries, and they're nearly 2,000 miles away. So people like Cuddy, you know, Cuddy, get up on your technology, because you might not be able to get that grass cutting job, particularly if somebody from Bangor, Maine, St. Petersburg. You know, realistically now, somebody can set up shop to cut your lawn, and they're based out of Siberia in Russia. And they're cutting your lawn in Everett, Washington.
Yeah.
314, your mic is open.
Hello, who is this?
It's
us.
Rob, was that you singing that nasty song?
I wasn't singing.
It was a woman.
I wasn't singing. I didn't hear nobody singing. I don't know what you're talking about.
L.A., was that Robin?
No, it wasn't Robin.
Singing
Robin
that
was
nasty
watching
song.
She was watching Arthur C. Clarke. She was watching the video. And it was a clean video, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you know,
Robin,
it must have been Blog Talk that did that. You know how Blog Talk is.
What happened? I missed something. What happened?
Ed Pianki knows. I'm just saying, if there's anybody singing a nasty song, it had to be Blog Talk that crossed wires or whatever.
Well, it sure was a nasty song.
Huh.
Who was that? Carter B or somebody? Who? Carter
AC
or something?
Cardi B. That's what I heard.
Talking about her vagina. That's shameful, Robin. You sure that wasn't you?
No, L.A.'s the producer. I'm just calling in. I'm not running the show.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not Blog Talk. I'm not Blog Talk Radio. It's just like, but 2 days ago, Blog Talk dropped everybody abruptly. I didn't have no control over that.
Well, you know, here's the thing. You talk about Detroit. You got two things going on there. One, the city is about 90% black, 600,000.
I think
that's what the population is. Two, looking at their socioeconomic condition, schooling, education, there's no place in the country where that group has shown some promising effects. So you have to ask yourself, why come they can't pay the water bill?
Well, good question. And I'm sure we can make a laundry list full of reasons or excuses.
That's why Bill Clinton talked about using Syrian refugees to develop the city, because the people there apparently don't have the gumption to do it themselves, which is usually the case. You know, at some point in time, y'all, listen, you got to come to terms with yourself. You got to come to terms with yourself. You can't throw tomato seeds on asphalt and think it's going to grow.
That's true.
It just ain't going to happen.
It's not going to happen.
So these people of this particular designation just ain't going to do it. And why in the heck do people keep on? You know, that's another thing, too. I think that people that's on welfare, they shouldn't be voting. You know why?
Why?
Because they're going to vote for candidates that's going to be favorable for the things to keep them in the position that they're in.
But isn't it, that's the whole idea of politics, isn't it, Pianki? Looking out for your own, I call politics the art and science of protecting your own interest.
Well, if the people is their interest, then that means that they got to take from somebody else and give it to their people. There, in fact, lies the problem.
Mm-hmm.
They want to either tax you, either on stationary assets or those that you bring in. Just look at what they're going on today with these budgets and that damn crazy Nancy Pelosi and the rest of them. And it never does any good. You never get out of it what you were told that you would derive from it.
Mm-hmm.
I think I talked to you yesterday about that. Programs like Head Start. How good is Head Start? Anybody know?
I don't know. I've heard of it, but I haven't heard anything about it in the news in a while.
Well, it can't be too good, because you have books like Michelle Alexander, what, The New Jim Crow? Talks about, quote-unquote, the system building prison beds based on the number of black boys that can't read at the fourth grade. Robin, I thought that Head Start supposed to solve that problem, where kids would be able to read.
No. All Head Start is doing is just conditioning the children at an earlier age to line up, conform, do what everybody else is doing, but they're not. My kids in our household, they're being taught to read and everything at home, and they're going to school, even Head Start reading and with their numbers. So, and that Head Start is not solved. Yeah, it's I'm going to tell you what it's a Head Start for. Basically, it gives them a chance to observe our black youth, particularly young males, right, to start observing them at an earlier age and start documenting any behavioral problems, real or imagined, where they start sending them to the principal's office because they're squirming around too much and they're disrupting the class, but they're only responding the same level that any other child is responding in that class. But now your kid has a school record. Wow, they got early history of going, being sent to the principal's office. Now we've got a discipline problem here. We've got a problem child here. Then now they're a juvenile. Now they're in the juvenile justice system. Okay? That when they look and they get, they do their first criminal offense, and then the judge goes, well, they looked at your school record, and they go, oh, well, you've had a history of blah, 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 and they throw you the book, and boom, you're gone. That's what Head Start is.
Well, you really laid it out, Robin. You need applause for that.
Thank you. Head Start, go ahead.
So I don't know what to tell you, Ellie. If you move out in the country, what you going to have for sewage waste, a septic tank?
Yeah, I'm on the septic system right here. I've been working great. I mean, you know, you have companies that come out every 2 years to pump it out. But overall, the system's been here for about 30 years. They come out every 2 years.
You have to pay them to do that?
Yep, $250 every 2 years.
Well, shit, these people that can't pay their water bill be on about $15,000 on a septic tank clean out. Either that, they have mess piled up tall as trees.
You know, so
then what?
One thing is, and me and Robin talk about this a lot offline, and we talk about it a little bit. You got to. Because the way I phrase or say things is gives it like a real simplified, sanitized solution. However, a lot of these people have to be educated and trained on.
These grown-ass people, L.A., come on now.
These are grown folks.
How you going to educate and train them?
Just because they're grown doesn't mean they know how to live in a rural environment.
Who's going to pay for that?
Well, I don't know who will pay it on a mass level. But, you know, individuals, I mean, they got classes on
this. They can't pay their water bill. You know damn well they ain't going to pay nothing to educate them because they're going to take that as an insult. It's fools saying I'm crazy.
Hey. Yeah, you can't. Well, you know what? I ain't trying to save everybody. I'm just saying, if you're going to move to a rural area, you're going to have to learn some new skills, new ways of living.
Yeah, I think.
You know, I call them minor adjustments. Okay.
Before they move there or after they move there?
Well, ideally, it's best to train them before they move. That's ideal.
All right. Well, you're going to be doing a whole bunch of training for nothing. Because as soon as you get to the chapter where it talks about you got to pay your own damn septic tank cleaning out, they leaving, walking right out the classroom. I ain't coming back. They going to eat your hors d'oeuvres.
You know what? The people that think that way might not even get that far. I mean, most people are addicted, or maybe that might not be the right word, but they like the comfort and conveniences of New York City, Chicago, L.A., what have you. Okay. And that's all right. Okay. Some other people, they might, okay, I like working in New York. I got friends, family in New York City, Chicago, L.A., San Francisco. However, and you got a lot of people like this, that thus they commute. The person that works in Silicon Valley that commutes 3 hours, 6 hours a day round trip. Okay. You know.
But these people got a job.
Person,
these people you talking about ain't paying their water bill. What's trifling about them?
They ain't coming to no
meeting unless you feed them. And that's going to cost you money.
You do have that element. But I'm saying a lot of this, I'm looking at the city of Highland Park. I think.
Yeah.
Needed to come up with a better solution.
An area in Detroit called Highland Park.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about, reading about. Because it's
that's an area.
The city needs to have citywide, and I think they can include this in the curriculum in grade school.
Wait a minute. You ain't going to be teaching no kids about paying the whole damn water bill now.
No, but tell them about water conservation. Well, here's another problem with Highland Park as well as Detroit Water and Flint and a whole lot of other cities. It's particularly in these larger cities. The infrastructure to replace it is going to be very expensive. So where are they going to get the money to pay for that?
They suppose they
simply
should float
they've been
some
getting
bonds.
It from the property owner.
Well, they should. Well, yeah, they should float some bonds to get it, which is a tax to pay for it.
Right.
One time pay for it.
Mm.
Then connection to it, to the meter. They would do that while they're putting the new water line in. Now, from the house to the meter is for the property owner.
Right.
Useless the way that go.
Now,
that's in
the
urban area. That ain't in the city, though, L.A. I don't think. Well, I guess it is in the city.
You built your own house in St. Louis, okay. So you didn't come out the womb knowing that. You had to learn that, okay? So I look at it this way. You took on the responsibility of learning and acquiring the necessary skills to build your own house. Will most people do what you did? No. And we know that. Most people, 80% of the population easily won't do that. It might be even higher than that. But I'm not talking to that 80%. I'm talking to that whatever percentage, lonely percentage number that is, because it's not that big. And I'm not talking about people that go out and hire a contractor to build a house. I'm talking about somebody that took the time like you did and learned and acquired
skills. Yeah, but them people there that you're talking about that's not paying their water bill and letting their water bill get up to some ridiculous amount, and that's also of ill repute on the city. So they should have cut the damn water off when it was a year behind or a month behind,
yeah,
2 months behind.
There's a problem on
who's running the government in Detroit?
Or Highland City.
Yeah.
Or Highland Park, rather.
Yeah, well, Highland Park is a community in the city of Detroit.
Yeah, but they got their own. Let me look it up, how they're structured. Because the way I understood it.
Hell, Detroit,
they also got
Detroit itself had the same. That the problem erupted out of Detroit was people's housing bills, not housing, water bills, was delinquent. And that's why the city was going broke. They paying for a water company where people ain't paying for the water to pay for the labor and salary and wages of the water company.
Okay, here's the outlet, Wikipedia on Highland Park, Michigan. It's got an estimated city population of 10,775 people. It was incorporated as a village in 1890. It was reincorporated as a city in 1918. They have a mayor, city council, government. So Highland Park, Michigan, is its own municipality, which happens to be surrounded by the city of Detroit. I think they got another one in there too, Hamtramck.
Hamtramck, inside the city limits of Detroit.
It's within the city limits of Detroit, and there's another town up there, Hamtramck. That's another city, which is its own municipality, which is surrounded physically by the city of Detroit.
Well, you know, that right there tells it all. You got people, all the people there just got that problem. Not all, I guess the ones that you talking about didn't pay the water bill. So I don't know what you're going to do with some folks. You want them as a tenant in your tiny houses when you start renting them out?
There's got to be a vetting system, naturally.
Yeah, if they ain't paying their water bill, how in the heck you going to chance them?
Oh, well, the whole idea is, well, to give people...
How you going
to
chance
them? The whole idea is off the grid is how to become more self-reliant.
Well, hell, they already off the grid. If the water's off, You can damn near guarantee the electric is off.
Well, if their water's cut off or anything like that, they've been kicked off the grid. Let's see. In 1907, Henry Ford purchased 160 acres just north of Manchester Street between Woodward Avenue and Oakland Street to build an automobile plant construction in Holland of the Holland Park Ford plant. So anyway, I guess it started out with Henry Ford. He needed a place.
Well, they wasn't having no problem with water bills back then.
No, not back then.
Recent. Because you just said that they was how many years behind with water bills. So you're talking about take that delinquency and multiply it probably by two. Maybe so. That's what happened there. But I don't know what to tell you. The government should have been kicking people off early.
Well,
Because you're running the water company.
Got a problem. I guess Hamtramck's got a problem. But part of it is just the culture, particularly the political culture up in that neck of the woods. In my opinion, too many government programs. Too much regulation, and then, we can get into this whole Democratic run type thing.
That's what come out say. If you delinquent where your water's cut off, you shouldn't be allowed to vote because you're going to vote for people that's letting that stuff go on.
Well, that's what happens.
Ask Robin what she think about that.
Robin, you there? Her light's still on. Anyway,
what do you think about the people that's got delinquent water bills and other tax, they shouldn't be allowed to vote. Did you know that a candidate running for office, if they are behind in their taxes, they can't run? They can't become a candidate? Did you know that in some municipalities? So if the candidate can't run, why are the people allowed to vote who's in the same circumstance?
The first few presidents of the United States, all of them were totally off the grid because there was no grid as we know it today. They didn't get no water bill, no electric, because all that wasn't set up then.
Well, yeah,
my solution is move to an area that's sustainable to you. That's my solution. Whatever that
and
might
that
look
would
like
be,
to you.
And that would be nothing. And that's going to be hard to find. Somewhere you ain't going to pay for nothing because they live in...
You're going to pay, but I'm talking about the operative word here is sustainable. If you can't afford to live in San Francisco,
Eric,
don't move to San Francisco. If you like San Francisco, like you got a job there, friends and all that there, then if it requires living in Livermore, California, okay, that's not San Francisco, but it's close enough.
Oh shoot!
You know,
the thing is. In San Francisco, people may have been able to afford it at the time, but they kept voting in these ratchet politicians, and they did what they did. Now your bus got to leave, and they still there waiting on the next crop to come in. I'm gonna let you guys.
And you know
have
that's
nice
happened
weekend.
To a lot of. That has happened in quite a few cities. Well, you're absolutely right. They kept on voting for the same type of politician, and everything just went up.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right.
Then you got these assholes that's running around following the UPS truck, and when they drop off something, they go take it. I'm waiting on one. I'm going to pop his butt. I'll report to y'all Monday.
All right, on that note, it's 12:51 here, so everyone have a good rest of the day and great weekend.